RNZ Pacific News, kia ora koutou, ko Susana Leata with tēnei. Buildings torched by rioters in the Solomon Islands capital Honiara continue to burn, particularly those in the city's Chinatown district. Our correspondent there says the 36-hour curfew has now ended. The correspondent says people are now milling around and some are continuing to loot the shops. She says the rioters have stolen a lot of alcohol. Many families in and around Honiara are running low on food and basic necessities, with the city brought to a standstill by 2 days of unrest. Police have been overwhelmed as rioters and looters tore through Honiara. One of our correspondents there, Elizabeth Osifelo, says the biggest victims have been law-abiding citizens who are now running low on food and basic necessities, as well as utilities like power and water.
Families in and around Honiara were not prepared for the basic things such as cash power and cash water and just the basic food supplies at home. So the situation is and will really affect a lot of families in Honiara.
In a public address last night through the Solomon's Island Broadcasting Corporation, Prime Minister Manase Songavare said he had been asked to step down by the protesters. He said this is something he will not do.
If I have to step down, what message would that send to our people, children and generations to come? Some of us are of the opinion that if I step down, the protests and riots will stop. This is the easiest decision to make. However, the effect of this decision is what weighs heavy in my heart.
In other news, Fijian school children will resume classes on January 4th, 9 months after being sent home due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Fiji's Education Minister Premila Kumar says Year 12 and 13 students are already back in school to prepare for their exams from February 1st to the 17th next year. While it's not mandatory, Ms. Kumar is urging parents to ensure their children are vaccinated against COVID-19.
20 years now, the national government even do not...
We have seen the results ever since Fiji started with its vaccination program. We have seen decrease in the number of COVID cases within the community. That's the evidence we have.
Fiji's health ministry says just over 25,000 children aged 15 to 17 are fully vaccinated, while 12,000 aged 12 to 14 have received their first dose of the COVID vaccine. A German medical team is helping a Papua New Guinea hospital to deal with the COVID-19 crisis. The team is one of the four emergency medical teams to have responded to the PNG government's request to help in the COVID-19 response. They will be based at the Nonga Base Hospital in Kokopo, East New Britain, for 3 weeks. The 10-member team deployed to PNG comprises specialists in anaesthesia, intensive care, surgery, nursing and paramedics. The CADIS emergency medical team is based in Berlin and is a not-for-profit organisation. It's deployed to PNG has been made financially possible by the German government. Another 32 positive cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in the Northern Marianas, bringing the territory's total to 604 cases since March. It comes a day after the Commonwealth Healthcare Corporation reported 98 new cases in a day. Of the 32 new cases, 20 were identified via community testing, 12 via contact tracing. COVID-19 Task Force Chair Warren Villagomez has assured the Commonwealth has enough quarantine and isolation rooms to respond. In New Zealand, ongoing eruptions within the opposition, the National Party's former chief press secretary says ousted leader Judith Collins has only one trick in her book, offence as the best defence. Janet Wilson worked under both Todd Muller and his successor Ms. Collins before leaving after the last election, in which National were comprehensively beaten. She says Ms. Collins overplayed her hand against Simon Bridges, who she demoted.
In Judith's mind, she is the queen of her world. And being the queen of her world, her chess plays are such that they will always win. And let's be fair to her, they have won for her in the past.
Janet Wilson says Christopher Luxon is the best prospect for leader. A Pacific community leader in New Zealand says the government must take some responsibility for the decline of Pacifica language speakers in Aotearoa. The Stats NZ data also shows that people from New Zealand's realm countries such as Niue, Tokelau and the Cook Islands have the lowest number of speakers. There are close to 31,000 Niueans in Aotearoa, but only 20% of them can speak Wangahao Niue. Mele Nehemiah, chair of the Niue Wangahao Trust, says the government has not paid much attention to its three priority areas.
Where is the obligation to Niue, Tokelau and the Cook Islands? We are a minority within a minority. This is a number game. We're going to miss out. The population of the Niue people is nowhere near the population of our Tongans and our Samoan colleagues. Don't just lump us all into one basket.
Pope Francis is to canonise Titus Brandsma, a Dutch priest, academic and journalist, murdered in the Dachau concentration camp in 1942 for preaching against the Nazis. The Vatican says Brandsma began speaking out against Nazi ideology even before the Second World War. He was arrested in 1942 and subjected to biological experimentation and killed by lethal injection the same year at the age of 61. Manu Samoa coach Seilala Mapusua says top-class former All Blacks and Wallabies now able to change allegiance will boost his team's quality. World Rugby's revised regulation will apply from January 1st, where a player must either be born in the country they want to change to or have a parent or grandparent born in that nation. Mapusua says while many of the eligible players are at the tail end of their careers, their experience will be invaluable. He says the new rule will instantly lift the team as they look towards the Rugby World Cup in 2023. An unbeaten fifth wicket partner of 113 between Shreyas Iyer and Ravindra Jadeja have put India on top after the first day of the opening test against New Zealand in Kanpur. After winning the toss, India battled through the first two sessions against some of Test bowling's front pacemen Kyle Jameson and Tim Southee. The three-pronged spin attack by Ajaz Patel, Will Somerville and Rajan Ravindra bowled well but without success. Playing in his first test in Asia, Jameson finished the day with 3 for 47.
Test cricket in India is, you know, is a toil and is hard graft for long periods. It's certainly not going to happen as quick as what it does at home. But I think we were pretty good, you know, for large parts of the day. You know, India may be slightly ahead, but if we start well tomorrow morning, we can certainly put some pressure on them, and you know, we can be pretty pleased with how the day panned out.
Meanwhile, Sri Lanka beat West Indies by 187 runs in the first test in Galle. Next year's New Zealand Golf Open looks on shaky ground due to the upcoming changes to the international border and MIQ. The tournament had been moved until late March in the hope of attracting some top overseas talent, but that's now unlikely to happen, with foreign nationals not able to get into New Zealand until after April 30th. Tournament director Michael Gladding says an event featuring only New Zealand golfers or even cancellation now appear to be their only two options. That's the news on RNZ Pacific. You can read and hear more of our news online at rnzi.com.